In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Put on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness on high. Therefore, take up the armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day. It is here, brothers and sisters, that we are called to stand firm in Christ, that we are called to remain faithful to the Lord. We hear the scriptures today, and we are reminded that it is God who is with us, that in this day and age that we live in, it is no different than any day in the history of humanity, in the sense that there is a battle of good and evil. There is a battle for the human heart. There is a battle that is being waged, so to speak, for the souls of every human person. We live in a day and age, though, where perhaps there is no battle. There is no heaven, there is no hell, there is no sin, there is no death, according to what some would have us believe. It is in that thinking that we need to be very aware. We need to be very discerning in how we live our lives of faith. We are not called to simply hide or recede into the darkness or the shadows of this world, but rather as those that have been signed with the indelible mark of the cross at baptism, we are called to be set apart for Christ. We are to be set apart with an armor that allows us to enter into a particular dynamic in this world. And again, we do not wage against the flesh and the blood. It is ironic because as we look at the synod on the family that is taking place, perhaps we see leaders who are made of flesh and blood. They are saying things that all people should receive communion. Whether you are a murderer, whether you are a homosexual who practices, whether you're one who has killed the Pope or harmed the church in innumerable ways, or for those who have cheated whole countries through the dishonesty in governance. It is in this way that we recognize there is an error in the logic that is unfolding in that thought. If one has sinned in many ways such as that, it is there that they are called to repentance. They are called to a change of life. And this hits to the heart of the gospel. In this particular parable that Jesus speaks to his disciples, he refers to the kingdom of heaven, but he refers to it in just mercy. It is not simply do whatever you want, and then it is in that vein that God will give to you whatever you desire. But rather, it is in this way that the servant who had no way can pay back his debt is forgiven of this great debt that is greater than anything that he can understand. It is in this way of forgiveness and mercy that he owes something to his master in the way of righteous living, of transforming his life, of being set apart to make reparation for other places in his life where he has committed a wrong. But rather, what does he do after he has been forgiven? He turns around, and for one who has a debt to him, which is much less, it is minuscule in proportion to what has been forgiven to him, he chokes this one, and he demands and exacts payment. He is very passionate about his desire to get what is owed him, completely forgetting the mercy of his own master who has forgiven his great debt. It is in this way that we see, yes, the generous mercy of God unfolding. And for the ones who say, have patience with me, I will pay it back. Forgive me. But it is in this way that in the world there are many who say, I don't want to say I'm sorry. I don't want to seek the God who forgives. I am not remorseful at all for my actions or my immoral way of life. Yet I want what is given to me. It is in the same vein that many of those who, some of the Synod Fathers, not all, there is the silent majority, unfortunately, who takes it all in and listens. But they do not understand that the way of mercy is a way of justice and righteousness. None of us can do whatever we want in life and simply get away with it when we are apart from God. But rather, he calls us back generously to his way, his embrace of authentic charity, authentic love, the authentic forgiveness that burns away the sin and then calls us to new life. Many of those, for example, who they say should receive communion are those same ones that seek to persecute those who live the virtuous life. They want to see an end to all morals, to an end to all family values throughout the world. That does not sound like remorseful living. That does not sound like a group of people that say, please admit me to communion that I may change my life. But rather, it sounds like those who are entrenched in flesh and blood. They are entrenched in this world. But we need to realize that those who are entrenched in flesh and blood are not the ones that we war against. If we consider ourselves spiritually astute to what is happening around us, not just in marriage and family, but with the whole package of our own spiritual connection with our Lord, the way that we sometimes can get worked into a corner and can find ourselves discouraged or fearful, that we can find ourselves being tempted towards more alcohol or pornography or gambling or shopping, whatever it is, or despair, or trying to find our own way through this life. These are all temptations. These are all some of the powers that fight, but are masked in flesh and blood. The keen heart that prays recognizes that there is a spiritual battle going on, and that those who want to eliminate the word battle or sin or hell or division or death is because they don't want us to fight. They want us to be destroyed by evil. But it is for those of us, ironically enough, who surrender into the care of Jesus that we receive the beautiful strengthening of the armor received at baptism. Yesterday at St. Agnes in St. Paul, little Lillian Lucia was received into the faith. And for this little one received in the baptism with the salt on the mouth and the beautiful anointings on front and back, you know, it was very apparent that the breastplate was being put on this child in the life of grace. And my heart was stirred with gratitude to God. I was asked to be the godfather for this beautiful child. And Grandma, one of the grandmothers, is here this morning with us. And in this beautiful occasion, this beautiful baptism, it became clear why St. Paul writes what he writes in this epistle. It is because when we are signed with the cross of Christ, there will be the battle that will wage around us, no matter how small, no matter how great we are. But when we find ourselves confiding our heart's desires, our fears, our longings, the things that make us nervous, into the care of Jesus, that he strengthens us with the armor of light, and that the darkness will try to wage war against us, but we do not need to be afraid. We do not need to be cowards. We do not need to be finding ourselves not speaking out against what is happening in our world, but rather we remain with Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. In him we have our surest sign and our peace. He is our rock and our refuge. He is our stronghold, and we shall not be harmed. But we remain with him and in him in this time and always, finding in our faith an opportunity to allow our hearts to be with him. But we must confide those places within where we are tempted to despair. We are tempted to say, it isn't worth it anymore. And then we find in him the place of great abiding mercy and love, the great place of forgiveness and healing, the place of strengthening and armament, lest we dupe ourselves into thinking that we can do this on our own, or that we have to battle flesh and blood, meaning the elements of the world, that really masks the devil, the world, and the flesh. It is here, brothers and sisters, that we hear in the gospel this beautiful parable of the forgiveness of servants. It is in this way that something of heaven is revealed. We can look at what is happening around us with spiritual eyes rather than being fooled into the ways of this world. Let us gird our loins with truth in the gospel that we have read. Let us remain steadfast in the day of the Lord. And let us truly, with the breastplate of justice as we have received in baptism, let us be ready with this shield of faith that we have received in baptism, and let us surrender into the hands of Jesus that the true battle against the wicked one would be accomplished. Lord, we need you. We pray for your assistance. Place that helmet upon us and place the sword of spirit in our hands, that it would be you who would lead us, guide us, and direct us from this world to the next. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.